Responding to the recent Supreme Court decision on abortion is the Reverend Dean Nelson of the Human Coalition, specifically Human Coalition Action, and their website is HUCO, action.org. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Dean Nelson, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Mr. Newcomb, it's always a pleasure.
Sure. Okay, explain to us the recent disappointing decision from the Supreme Court where Chief Justice John Roberts joined with the liberal group in order to form a slight majority, 5-4, but that's all it took, to strike down a Louisiana law related to abortion.
Yeah, as you may know, Human Coalition and Human Coalition Action did file an amicus brief early on in this case supporting the state law coming out of Louisiana. But suffice it to say that we were greatly disappointed and grieved with the decision to overturn the Louisiana Doctors' Privileges Law by the Supreme Court. I mean, this was a law that safeguards and protects the lives of women, and felt like that the court really missed it in this case. I mean, you may know a little bit of the background, but, you know, it was surprising to many, not just that Justice Roberts sided against the state of Louisiana, but it was particularly disconcerting because he had supported a similar law in Texas. And so it was extremely concerning to many in terms of how he essentially flip-flopped, but doing so because he, in my opinion, wanted to kind of preserve the abortion status quo.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting about John Roberts trying to find a judicial philosophy, a consistent philosophy. He seems to be saying that whatever it is, you know, we the court shouldn't be making law, so he says. But, of course, the whole abortion thing is law written by essentially the Supreme Court. But anyway, the weird thing is that once something is the law or even is a precedent, then John Roberts seems almost partial to allowing that precedent to stand, the status quo to stand, because he doesn't want to be perceived as somehow making law. So the weird thing about this is, as you noticed, or as you just pointed out, a few years ago, he voted against the Texas law, but now that precedent exists, so, oh, I'm going to go ahead and go along with the precedent, a precedent that he himself opposed once just a few years ago. It's strange. I can't understand John Roberts.
Yeah, you know, and I was listening to the words from the Attorney General, Jeff Landry, from Louisiana, who lamented that, you know, he had tried to be supportive, in recent years of John Roberts, but was gravely disappointed because he feels like that this is horrible because it doesn't really follow precedent. He feels like that the judge is being completely inconsistent, and you know, even listening to General Landry, his opinion is, hey, look, the only thing that we can do is try to do whatever we can to, you know, reelect President Trump as a pro-life president and get some additional judges that will at least look at these things from, you know, a clearly constitutional standpoint and not trying to, I guess, preserve his legacy in the history books.
Okay, tell us the background of the case itself and of the law and the left. How did this victory for the pro-abortion site or forces, as if this were, you know, a victory for women and their health and safety and certainly reproductive freedom and all that. What are your thoughts and what's the background?
Sure. So this was June Medical, which is a chain of abortion facilities in the state of Louisiana. And what this law does, and I'd love to point out that this law was signed by a Democrat, a Democrat governor, was a bipartisan piece of legislation that was led by an African American. At the time, she was a state representative. Now she's a state senator, Senator Jackson. So it essentially was designed to protect women. It really required doctors who perform abortions to have what they refer to as admitting privileges. And this is something that other doctors, for instance, if you are an eye doctor and you practice LASIK surgery, you are required to have these admitting privileges. The reason that they are requiring that is because if there is a botched abortion, if something goes wrong, then we need to be able to do whatever we can to protect women so that these women then could be transferred to a relatively close medical facility, and that the doctor having these admitted privileges basically is required to give the information regarding what happened in the abortion. Abortion doctors don't want the accountability, and so that's why the court in this case allowed for abortion providers like Planned Parenthood and others to speak on behalf of women, which was really I have a problem with that in and of itself, because why is the abortion clinics able to speak and kind of defend for women? They don't really speak for all women. And in this case, obviously you had a woman who was the one who pushed this particular piece of legislation, the protection of women in the great state of Louisiana. And so it was disappointing because at the end of the day, this was a piece of legislation, a law that was decided against protecting the health of women. And that, I think, is the most disappointing for organizations like us, UN Coalition, who serve women every day, hundreds of thousands of women we've served. And we do this in a way of honoring and protecting women and their preborn children. So it is really a sad day when we have a decision that comes down like this. But, of course, we at Human Coalition and Human Coalition Action will continue to do all that we do to help rescue children and to serve women around the country who are facing unplanned pregnancies.
How common are botched abortions, and is that a number that potentially is underreported? In other words, the phenomenon is a lot more common, but it's not reported that way, therefore we don't really know.
Yeah, it does depend on the state, but abortions that take place, we have seen in numbers of states where women who have been harmed by abortion, in some cases women who have died because they did not get the medical treatment that they should have gotten. So not only do you have...
And a law like this one, the one in Louisiana, if it were allowed to stand, that would have helped those women. Is that right?
Exactly right. And that is the whole point about it. That's exactly right. It would have helped. And that's why, you know, Senator Jackson, you know, consistently, you know, made the claim, and she did so very eloquently in a piece that she had in the USA Today last week, that this law really wasn't even so much about, you know, pro-life and protecting children so much as it was a law that was protecting women. And any other doctor would be required to have these admitting privileges, but the judge or the court essentially decided that no, in this case, people who perform abortions, who kill children, are protected in this case. Those doctors that perform these can have a special protection that no other doctor gets. And we feel like that is completely unfair, and that's why we feel like the court, in a very serious way, missed it on this one.
Do you feel that, in effect, the especially the liberal wing of the justices in the Supreme Court, that whatever it is, they're for abortion, and any law, no matter how common sense, no matter how much it's geared towards protecting women, the women having abortions, they're against those laws because abortion is sacrosanct and nothing should keep a woman from having an abortion if she wants to?
You know, I'm afraid you're right. I mean, let's face it, abortion is the opposite of health care. I mean, it neither heals nor protects life. Not only does it result in the inhumane killing of a preborn child, but it has the potential, in this case, to cause substantial physical or emotional harm to the mother. And I feel like that the mantra that, you know, the abortion industry consistently makes is that they're pro-woman. But this is clearly the case where it is not pro-woman. But because, as you say, they've kind of, some on the court have kind of made this sacrosanct, it's almost as if they don't want to, number one, really honestly protect women. Two, they don't want to really follow the Constitution as it is. But now this sends a whole, like, message to the lower courts in terms of, well, how do they make some of these decisions? Because this was upheld by a lower court, but now it's overturned. And so I think in many ways it does create a little bit of court chaos, because the message that it sends is that, hey, it may be consistent with how a justice like Roberts has written in the past, but if it seems to push too much against, you know, the abortion industry, then maybe we shouldn't go there. It's really disappointing and extremely discouraging.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You were just talking about the phrase pro-woman and how that, in a sense, is co-opted by the pro-abortion forces. But I think even the word or phrase pro-choice is co-opted in this sense. There are many, many women, the majority, in fact, who have abortions, and studies have shown that the majority of the women felt compelled against their will, usually by their parents or by, you know, a loved one, their, you know, their live-in boyfriend, their husband, whatever, to have that abortion. So in other words, if nature were allowed to have its course, these women would go ahead and have that baby. But because they felt, you know, like, Mom, you're going to kick me out of the house? Okay, fine, I'll go get that abortion. But I don't want to, you know, that kind of thing. They felt compelled. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, let's face it. Truly caring for women in this difficult circumstance is providing holistic, life-affirming medical care and resources that will safeguard the life of the mother and the child, not just through delivery, but for life. Additionally, I think it's common sense that women should be able to receive time-sensitive emergent medical health care in cases of an abortion emergency. Not to uphold this law not only is negligent, but it's potentially deadly to the woman. And so I feel that, you know, if anything, you know, in the last few months, that we should have learned a lesson in terms of human dignity. I think that we should be making the case that we should be siding on, you know, with women to protect them and to serve them. I mean, the value of human life should never be the topic of debate, but sadly, we continue to see assaults on women and human dignity in our nation, including the Supreme Court's ruling in this case.
And also, I would add, and I have you mention this if you would, but there's a corroding factor here in this. Here's what I mean by this. Mother Teresa said, if we can accept that a mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell others not to kill one another? And, you know, ever since abortion's been legalized, the violence has skyrocketed in America. We were told, oh, no, it will go down. That is because every child will be wanted. It doesn't work that way. You kill your own child, and then that's a corroding factor. We have less than a minute for your thoughts.
You cannot affirm, quote-unquote, life in one context and not affirm life in another context. Life is life. As I believe it was Dr. Seuss, you know, a person is a person no matter how small. And I think that the court got it wrong in this decision, but there are many people like us at Human Coalition and Human Coalition Action that will continue to fight for preborn children and for women in these cases, because we recognize that human dignity is still an American value.
Reverend Dean Nelson, HucoAction.com for more information. That's HucoAction.com. Thanks for being with us.
God bless you. Thank you so
much.
You
too. Thanks. Bye-bye.